Well, hello, my friends. Welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, also known as the BrowerShow.com. If you're looking for all the updated podcasts on this awesome show and like to get your health topics, your daily news topics every single day sent right to your inbox, check out the BrowerShow.com and get your updates right here. Put in your name, your email, and we'll send them to you every single day. And be sure to check all the different shows we do. A lot of new listeners, a lot of old listeners, a lot of consistent listeners, a lot of veteran listeners from way back in the day. We love you guys. We appreciate all you guys. And thank you for constantly getting this show out there every single day to continue to spread the truth, the news, and what's really going on. And, of course, healthmasters.com. If you need anything for our high-quality supplements, nutrients, anything as far as information on health, we're here to help you guys out. And also be sure to check out the health articles. Every week we're writing updated health articles, and I'm going to cover some stuff today that just came out again over the weekend about GLP-1s and Ozempic and more lawsuits, more FDA trouble, and more issues. And how, I mean, it's like every month more stuff's coming out.
Well, this is going right back to pharma with Purdue
Oxycontin.
Well, they're telling you it's safe, it's not addictive, it's not this, it's not that with OxyContin, and suddenly they get an $8 billion fine. Nobody goes to jail,
No. And
a bunch of people get addicted to opiates. I mean, this GLP stuff is some dangerous stuff, guys. It's got all kinds of horrible side effects, and it's easier to lose weight the healthy way, and we'll talk about that today, too. Plus, we're going to talk about several different ways to help fight dementia and memory loss as you get older today. Really important. I've got a good friend of mine who's been diagnosed with pre-Alzheimer's disease now, Austin. You know the gentleman. And it's a mess. And now they put him on a drug, and he brought me a copy of the drug the other day, and he said, what am I going to do with this drug? And I looked it up, and it said that it's very ineffective. It doesn't help in most cases. And if it doesn't help immediately, to discontinue its use. And it had a list of side effects that were like 40 deep. I mean, bad side effects, convulsions, dying, heart attacks, all kinds of stuff. And I thought to myself, this is unbelievable. And this is the best a neurologist could come up with, is to give him a drug that has 40 deep side effects. And I told him, I said, well, that's going to be up to you and, you know, your doctor. And I said, I'd find another neurologist. I wouldn't go to this person anymore. If that's all she wants to do is give you a drug that has been shown to be ineffective like 99% of the time.
With a host of side effects.
Unbelievable.
Well, and that's the issue we're running into now, is that's all the doctors want to do. And I'm starting to see a trend, and again, I'm not making any claims, but I'm seeing a trend on people that have used statins as well that are starting to have a lot of these neurological disorders long term.
Well, the biggest problem that we have is that they give you drugs that cause senile dementia and Alzheimer's disease and mental drop. They give you these drugs 15 years earlier, and all of a sudden they have these problems. Well, now they're going to try to give you another drug. The problem was these drugs to start with have caused the problems. And so they say that in nursing homes. You know, your grandmother, Oma, she went into the nursing home completely mentally acute. I didn't put her in there, by the way. I did not have power of attorney. I would never have done that. She was running a business. She was working every day. She was doing great. They stuck her in the nursing home because she had a broken foot.
Yeah.
Well, she never came out. She was there for 6 years. And within 6 months, they had her drugged into a stupor.
Well, isn't that the model, though?
It's always the model.
Get them in there. Yeah. Get them on drugs. You have a reoccurring patient that fills up a bed, that fills up a pharmaceutical tab every single week, every month, every year.
Well, the model is a little bit more insidious than that. I've got a friend of mine. You know, he's a medical doctor. He's a cardiologist.
Yeah.
And I sent him this article this morning. And I said to him, I said, I have not vetted this. And he goes, and he basically wrote me back and said, this is happening, it's real. This guy's a cardiologist.
Yeah.
One of the top cardiologists in Central Florida. He's a good friend of mine. Here's what he said. No, not what he said, but here's what the article said. Private equity firms bought 500 hospitals. Death rates in their emergency rooms went up 13%. They fired 12%. That's because the boys that breathe free air, these pieces of slime. All they care is about profit, not about patient
care.
That's
exactly right.
They fired 12% of the staff. They then paid themselves billions in dividends. A Harvard study just confirmed what doctors already knew. People are dying so investors can hit quarterly targets.
Jeez.
It's about the money, right? That's what Satan did, remember? Exactly what happens. A private equity firm buys a hospital using debt. The debt then gets placed on the hospital's balance sheet, not the firm's balance sheet. Now the hospital owes hundreds of millions that it never borrowed. To service that debt, the hospital cuts costs. Cost means nurses. The numbers from the Harvard University of Chicago study are horrifying. After PE acquisition, emergency department salary spending dropped 18%. ICU dropped 15%. Hospital-wide employees were cut 11%. Emergency department deaths rose 13%. Seven additional deaths per 10,000 visits. The separate study found patients undergoing surgery at private equity hospitals had a 17% higher odds of dying within 90 days. 17% higher. Jeez. Okay, the private equity industry has poured over $1 trillion into healthcare. They operate a quarter of the ERs nationwide, 25%. We're talking wow. BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard now. That's who we're talking about. And now if laws are being passed to prevent them from going in and buying entire subdivisions now. Because they do the same thing in the
housing market.
And then they jack up the prices by giving inflated appraisals and then get more money coming out of the housing. And then the people get stuck with a house that's worth $250,000, $300,000 that they owe $800,000 for.
Yeah.
They can't get out of it without filing bankruptcy. And so my doctor, I said it to him this morning, my cardiologist said it is happening all over. They're buying up medical practices too. Because remember something, you're an animal. Now, you don't think you're an animal. I don't think you're an animal, but they think you're an animal.
Yeah, they do. Listen, this is exactly what you just said. I'm pulling the article up on here. It says the firms use borrowed money by the hospitals, just as you said, placing the debt on the hospital itself. They engage in sale leaseback transitions, selling the hospital's land and building to investors, and then charging the hospital rent so they can drain operational costs.
That's right.
So they're pulling all the net profit out of a hospital that's even available there, and the hospital is just taking on crazy debt.
Right. Well, we got to remember something. This is important. You got to remember this. You're not human to them.
Yeah. Sadly, that's
no, no. I think
the Epstein files and the term Goya made that pretty clear.
I mean thousands of times. By the way, before we can release all of the stuff from the Epstein files, going back to the ancient Canaanite religions and child sacrifice, let's make sure we go to war with Iran.
There you go.
Putin came over and said, "Hey, I'll take the 450 pounds or 900 pounds or kilos or whatever it is of uranium to Moscow. We'll stop this."
Yeah.
That Iran supposedly has. Remember, Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, too. And Trump says, no, we have to have complete destruction.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, we have to have complete cover-up of the Epstein files. Nobody wants that stuff coming out because it goes back to the ancient Canaanite. Remember, I told you guys years ago, we are being controlled through the ancient Canaanite religions. That's who run the Epstein files, human sacrifice. And they've done it. And throughout the years, they've had thousands and thousands, millions upon millions of children over the centuries that have been killed like this. And this same group continues to run everything behind the scenes. They claim to be Jews, but they are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. It says twice in the book of Revelation. The problem is nobody wants to talk about it. Let's talk about dementia, though. Let's talk about ways to treat dementia at home and natural ways. Number one, you need to be on supplements. Omega-3 fats. I don't know how to promote this any stronger than this. If you're not taking cod liver oil or omega-3 oils and you're over the age of 50, you're asking to have all kinds of mental collapse as you get older. This morning I was talking to a friend and I said, you know, it's sad to me how many of my friends now are having mental problems starting at the age of 50.
Yeah.
They can't remember anything anymore, Austin. I mean, they're getting sicker and sicker. They put them on statin drugs, which, by the way, statin drugs are one of the primary causes of senile dementia.
Yeah, that's why I was going to get into that.
We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And, you know, and high blood pressure medicine can also lead to this. We have all kinds of problems associated with this. And then if you don't have enough creatine in your body, enough water in your body, because you decide you want to be a vegan, don't be vegan, please. Then all of a sudden your brain starts to dehydrate and you have shrinking brains.
Well, you know what's crazy about these statins? I'm hearing more and more. So over the weekend, I was with some good friends of mine in Orlando. A couple is married. His wife's like 36. They're like, you know, a little bit younger than me. She's like super lean, super active. Eats eggs. She's obsessed with eggs and butter and beef all the time. Really great shape. And she goes, she's asked me, because she's real into health. She's asked me, she goes, Austin, what should I do for my cholesterol? I looked at her and said, dude, you're like 110 pounds. You're shredded. What's wrong with your cholesterol? She goes, well, I got my blood work done last month. My doctor said my total cholesterol is at 212, and he told me I need to go on statins.
Unbelievable.
And I said, your doctor told you you need to go on statins. I said, look at you. I said, you're like 10, 12% body fat. You're shredded. You train all the time. I said, what do you eat? She goes, well, I love eggs and butter. I love beef, and I love fish. And I'm like, your cholesterol's just fine. I said, keep doing what you're doing. She goes, well, he was like pitching a fit about it. He literally gave me a script. I filled the prescription for statins. It's sitting in my cabinet. I haven't taken it though, because she goes, I pulled up the side effects on it. She goes, the side effects are like, it's like a death pill. And I said, I assure you, and I said, and I hope you don't. I said, if you start taking those drugs, your entire health is going to go down the toilet with them. And she goes, you think so? I said, no, I don't think so. I said, I know so. I said,
I've seen it.
I have personally watched this now with so many people I know personally. Personally knew. Great shape, great mental acuity, great muscle mass, great energy, great everything. They take the drugs. Within 2 to 3 months, they're in my office. They look like they're about half decrepit. They go, I don't know what to do. I have no energy. I have no sex drive. I have no muscle mass. I can't get out of bed in the morning. I feel horrible. And I'm like, what changed? I went on statins. Mm-hmm. Every single time I've watched somebody go on those drugs.
You know, the sad part about it is, you know, people don't realize how bad they are. In fact, in Breakthrough Health, it was the last book I put out, I put down the top 10 drugs never to use. Yep. The number one drug we told you never to use are statins. Because remember, as your cholesterol drops under 200, so do all disease rates, including cancer, which goes through the roof.
Imagine that. Imagine that.
And if you go on statins for 37 years, you live like 3 days longer. And you have all kinds of health effects, problems for those 37 years. And it makes your brain go to mush, makes your memory go to mush. That's one of the reasons we're having such a problem with senile dementia. So many of these people out there, Austin, are taking these drugs because their doctors are telling them to.
Yep.
And they don't even realize that the statins are the cause of their senile dementia and their memory losses. I'm just being as honest as I can be right now. Now, if you are taking these drugs, I'm going to give you a little disclaimer. Don't discontinue the use of any prescription medicine without going to another medical doctor, having them tell you to stop taking them. And I would change the medical doctor who gave you that and find you a naturopathic physician or a medical doctor that's oriented toward health care as far as healthy health care, not drug health care. There's a difference. Let's go on with this. B vitamins, B6, B12, B9, B complex, vitamin E. All these things are talking about what you need to do as far as if you have problems with memory. You need to be taking curcumin, which is our turmeric. I take it every day. Coenzyme Q10, resveratrol, zinc, and vitamin C. And then it says you have to exercise. I train 6 days a week. But I'm telling you, bud, ladies, I know you're not a bud. Sometimes you're a lady. Sorry. If you're exercising and you're taking statin drugs, you're whistling in the cemetery. It's really hard on skeletal muscle tissue.
Well, it's hard to rebuild. It's hard to recover is the problem.
Well, you won't.
Can't recover.
You won't. You can't because it causes skeletal muscle necrosis. Oh, what is that? That means your skeletal muscles die. And then they rot.
And your kidneys have to flush them out.
And then you go into kidney failure.
You go into dialysis.
Yeah. Then you have to go to dialysis. Okay, I'm going to stop for 1 second. I got to fuss. I'm going to fuss for a second. Now, I'm not going to go on a tirade about, you know, Lucifer and Kabbalah, synagogue of Satan.
It's not Monday.
I'm going to talk about... I want to say something. The other day, I had a friend of mine who basically found a fungal medication online that really works. Okay? And I read the reviews of it, and it said, this is the best fungal medicine I've ever used. I've tried 20 different ones, and I love this product, but I'm giving it 0 stars because it's expensive.
You know, gosh, don't keep
No. I'm going here. I'm going here. And I mean, he writes this review about how incredibly positive this product
and it worked.
Is, but he gives it 0 stars, 1 star. I'm giving it 1 star because it's too expensive. Now, remember, he's bought 20 other medications for who knows how much money that never worked, but this one's working, but he's going to give it 1 star and slam it because it costs more than the other ones do. Now, this just absolutely is mind-boggling to me.
Especially as a business owner.
No.
I've dealt with this too before.
No. We're going to go here for a second. I got a friend of mine. Got cancer for the fourth time. Guy's very wealthy. Multimillionaire. Just bought a brand new Lexus. Paid cash for it. You know, $60,000-$70,000 cash. He basically has cancer for the fourth time. Calls me up and says, oh, I got cancer again. I'm like, man. And I said, well, I figured you would. And I said, why do you think that? I said, well, because you didn't follow my protocol to keep healthy and to avoid cancer and to prevent it. You didn't do it. Well, I did too. I said, no, you didn't. So I started going through the protocol as far as building a healthy immune system. Nothing. And he goes, well, how much of a discount are you going to give me? And I said to him, you're a multimillionaire. You just bought a brand new Lexus. You're on death's door.
Again.
And you're worried about getting, 10% or 20% off a product that we make 30% on, which means if we give you a 30% discount, we don't cover costs. So, if we make 10%, if we give you a discount of 30%, we can't pay salaries, we can't pay utilities, we can't pay shipping, we can't pay freight.
Buy more inventory.
We can't even buy more inventory. but you want your discount. Well, how much are you going to give me? And I'm like, you're a multimillionaire, and you're buying all these products online that don't work, and now you're dying of cancer again for the fourth time. And I just stopped talking to him. And I love him, and I'll talk to him if he calls me, but there's no point. I mean, you think, well, you know, the Bible says that the worker is worth his wages. So, you know, if I've spent, you know, 50 years of my life, which is pretty much the real number here, 45 years of my life, you know, operating and running Health Masters now with Austin for the last 20 years, and I'm doing all of this stuff, and we have all of this retained knowledge that we're trying to pass on to you for free on a show like this, and we're paying for all of this on top of all of that, you know, and people get, well, I'm angry because your multiple vitamin is $4 more than what I can buy at Walmart.
Or Amazon.
And I'm like,
gosh.
No, I'm going here right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, you'll go out to a really nice restaurant and drop 100 bills on dinner.
Oh, but and when you do it, how many times do you bring the manager over? This meal was incredible. It's the best filet I've had in a while. But I need to see if I can get 30 or 40% off my bill real quick. Why, sir? You already ate all the food. You enjoyed it. Well, it doesn't matter. I don't like the price of it after I ate it. I need a discount. I need 40% off my dinner. There's your analogy. How many people do that at restaurants? Mm-hmm. Nobody does that at restaurants. You know why? They'll say, sir, here's your bill. If you don't like it, we'll call law enforcement and tell them you're not going to pay your bill. Have a good day. That's what everybody's going to do.
Well, I had to go there for a minute. Now you think, well, I can't believe you went there. I got it. Okay, here's the thing. Let's say you're on a protocol that's costing you $300 a month. And I got it that the economy's doing some weird things. Fuel prices are up. Gas prices are up. I got it. Okay, here's a suggestion to you. Stop eating out. That's number one. That's going to save you a lot of money. That's number one. Number two, instead of cutting out your supplements and not using them anymore, cut them in half. Now you went from $300 a month to $150 a month.
You're better at low dosage of high quality than no dosage of high quality.
There you go. And if you have to, cut it by a fifth. Cut 4/5 out. Just cut it. You go to from $300 to $60 a month. You think, well, will that work? Well, it won't work as well. No, but it will still work. It's still better than nothing. And don't just cut them out and say, I'm not doing this anymore, and then run over to, you know, to the junk store and buy your junk vitamins. Don't do that. Don't put shellac-coated supplements into your body. Don't do that. They don't digest, number one. They put toxins in your body, plus with red dyes and all kinds of chemicals in them. Don't put them in your body at all, period, ever. Oh, by the way, Trump is now reining in JFK.
Really? What happened? Yeah. I haven't seen that yet.
Because JFK is getting too close to Big Pharma. And Trump's saying now that he's going to monitor what he's doing, so he's not going to let him loose on vaccines and all the other stuff anymore. So he's coming after JFK. So if JFK makes it through the entire first term, I'll be shocked. We want to thank you, JFK, for your service. You've been exemplary. Thank you so much for what you've done for the Trump administration. Bye. Whatever. Okay. Well, suggestion. Okay. And then good sleep patterns for senile dementia. Make sure you sleep. Take our melatonin. Take our sleep like a baby protocol. Let me say something else to you. It's best to take your supplements around noon, for breakfast and noon, if you're going to take a bunch of supplements every day, if you want to sleep well. Now, you can take your magnesium. You can take your mushroom complex. You can take your magnesium brain food. You can take your Atriala products for your bowels. You take all that at night before you go to bed. That's fine. They don't interfere with sleep patterns. What you don't want to do is take a bunch of B vitamins before you go to bed.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that, okay? It's not because our B vitamins work. You don't want to do that. Okay, you have to challenge your brain. If you don't like something that I say on this show, if you don't like something Austin says, if you say, I don't like the way that your veins come out on your neck, that happened to me on Friday. If you don't like what happens or don't like what we say, challenge your brain, do your own research.
There you go.
I'm telling you, if you want to keep your brain young, you read.
Read.
And you bait, and don't read mental candy. Don't read Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Don't read stuff like that. Don't read romance novels and more quote soft porn. Don't read trash like that. It's disgusting. You know, read stuff that's going to make you think. I post a lot of really good stories on the Health Masters website. Read those. If you want to keep your brain going, do crossword puzzles if you have to. You've heard that many, many times. You know, and maintain social interaction. Yesterday, I had a friend of mine. We're going to go to dating for a second. And he's in his 60s. He's been divorced for a long time. And he had two dates yesterday. And I was so happy for him because he'd been dating the wrong person for a minute. And she left and went to another country. And I told him, I said, I'm proud of you. Now, he's not sleeping with these women. He's just going out with them, having dinner, that kind of stuff. So don't get me started. I'm not going there today with all that. He's not doing all that. But he's going out and just meeting people and being socially interactive. I can't tell you how important that is, guys. You can't lay around the house by yourself all the time. Go do something. Go to church. Do something. Ensure good oral hygiene. Really important. Don't use fluoride toothpaste.
Yeah,
you want to drop your IQ, mess up your brain? Hit fluoride. Hit fluoride mouthwashes. You know, all these things. And then you can do massage. You can do bright light therapy. You can do music therapy. You can find physical exercise and cognitive therapy for neural effects. You do all kinds of stuff. But remember, don't use the drugs that cause, you know, mental decline when you're 30 and 40 years old.
That's
and
a fact.
By the way, blood pressure medicine does that too. You'd be better off to do the round trampoline and take the magnesium for your blood pressure and exercise and lose some weight.
One thing I want to add in there, they didn't really put in this, and I talked about it because I did a whole gut series for almost an entire week on probiotics. That is another one that's very, very left out, nobody talks about, is making sure you have the gut-brain axis tied in with healthy gut functioning, low inflammation, high probiotic in the system, keeping that mental acuity tied in with the gut-brain axis. The more research we've done over the last decade now, we're finding how important it is for healthy microbe, healthy gut functioning, low inflammation, and how important it is for overall brain health. So remember, we're finding out now that the serotonin production is what's triggered through the gut now.
Mm-hmm.
All these things are tied into the gut. So if you're having issues with mental acuity or dementia problems like that, you've got to make sure you're staying away from the poor diet, the high process, high sugar, high carbohydrate, high preservative labeled foods, because they will wipe out your gut microbe unbelievably quick. If you've been on antibiotics, you've been on any type of drugs or pharmaceuticals for a period of time, make sure you're taking the probiotic supplements, not drugs, because at the end of the day, you've got to maintain your overall health.
And if you go on probiotics for a week or a day or anything, you need to stay on this for 30 days.
Minimum. Minimum 30 days. I recommend this for a while.
Yeah, but this is not something you have to do the rest of your life, but you got to do it for at least 30 days.
You got to do at least 30 days on there. Because the problem is, like he said, you start going on these statin drugs, and all these drugs are constantly pushing now. I've been shocked over the last couple of years how many people I've met that are extremely healthy, extremely mentally acute, extremely tight with their diet, and their doctors immediately want to put them on statins based simply on what your numbers show. Your blood work is there as a base to look at it. Your blood work should not be there to determine how many pharmaceutical drugs you're going to go on.
How many you can tolerate. No,
that's a big difference guys.
No, give me this camera. You know, I think you can tolerate these 12 drugs.
Yeah,
I think we can give you these 12 drugs without killing you, and it may help.
No, I'm serious. Your A1C is a little high. We need to put you on metformin. Your cholesterol's a little high. We need to put you on statins. This hormone's a little low. We need to put you on this drug, and all of a sudden you're like, well, you just prescribe me four or five drugs based simply on a number, just on a number. How are you functioning? What's your energy? How's your sex drive? What are your hormone levels? What's your mental acuity? They're all great. Everything's perfect, doc. That's fine. We got four drugs. I want you to start immediately. Well, first off, none of those drugs are ever tested in conjunction with one another. Mm-hmm. Never. They're never tested.
They don't do that.
This is the problem that's happening now with Wegovy and Ozempic. I was going to tie into this article on the show here now.
Do it.
The FDA now is reprimanding Novo Nordisk for serious violations and reporting serious effects tied to the blockbuster GLP-1 drugs.
Strokes.
This goes back to exactly what we talked about earlier with OxyContin and Purdue. They completely blocked all the side effects out now from this drug that were really, really bad. So Ozempic and Wegovy investigators are saying the company did not report any cases involving strokes, suicidal tendencies, or patient deaths, raising serious concerns and problems about the drug safety monitoring and how the approval got by testing.
You know, let's go back to the title on this here. Okay, here we go. Failed to report strokes. Okay, I got to lose 25 pounds. I'm going to go on with these drugs.
Stroke.
Why don't you just change your diet? I got to lose 25 pounds. I'm going to have to quit suicide now because of the drug. Would be easier just to go ahead and eat chicken and vegetables. I basically am going to die here because I don't want to lose 25 pounds the normal way by changing my diet and have a healthy lifestyle. So I'm going to do this. I can't believe, Austin, how many people take this stuff.
Well, no,
I mean, it's in the millions now.
Well, no, and what they did was they used their little influencers in
just
Hollywood.
Just like Purdue Pharma.
Yep. Oh, it's OxyContin. I actually had a discussion. I had to go to the doctor the other day, get an x-ray done on an ankle, old previous injury, updated maintenance. And I talked to the doctor that was there. real smart lady as far as orthopedic doctor. And we got on the topic of that. And we got on top of OxyContin because she was talking about she doesn't prescribe any opioids.
A lot of doctors just completely stopped.
I don't prescribe opioids at all.
And you know what the sad part about it? It's one of the finest drugs ever developed.
For specific surgery, yeah. Like morphine. Mm-hmm. I mean, morphine is needed when it's needed.
But you've got to get off of it within a couple of days. You can't stay on it extended periods of time, and you can't be using extended release. Well, it's
too
dangerous.
What happened was you had this full knee-jerk reaction. You had this knee-jerk reaction back now from basically the doctors that needed to use morphine and certain drugs for serious surgeries. And now nobody prescribes opiates because they don't want to get the lawsuit.
They don't want their license revoked
because they got slammed so hard from OxyContin. And she flat out told me, she goes, yeah, she goes, my mother basically had surgery and got prescribed OxyContin. And she took it a little bit. But then we kept checking on like drugs and the bottle kept going down lower and lower. Found the housekeeper was stealing all the OxyContins and selling them. They're like candy back then. And she goes, all these doctors prescribe it for anything. Sore back, headaches, OxyContin. It's non-addictive. Until they got, you know, a quarter of the population hooked on these doggone things.
Tens of millions.
It was. Millions and millions of people. This is like a different way. Now they're getting everybody hooked on these weight loss drugs. They're finding within a year, vast majority of time, you gain all the weight back. Mm-hmm. Within a year, you start having all types of issues, gallbladder, pancreatitis, thyroid problems. And it goes on to say here, it says, under federal law, pharmaceutical companies must promptly report all serious reports of adverse events to the FDA within 15 days.
It's self-reporting. They don't get fined if they don't do this. That's the problem.
Yep. It says Novo Nordisk, in violation of law, chose not to report severe serious events, including strokes and deaths, after their staff or contractors decided the side effects weren't related to the drugs. They deemed it so.
Let's go here. Millions of U.S. kids and toddlers are taking psychiatric drugs. Go to the bottom right.
I got a whole show we're going to do on this one. This is one of the reasons why, in my opinion, they're putting RFK Jr., they're putting him on a leash right now. This is a crazy article. This was on The Defender, this Children's Health Defense, with RFK Jr. site. And this is the Citizens Commission of Human Rights. They filed a Freedom of Information Act request across 32 states to obtain all data on psychiatric drug prescribing to children enrolled in Medicaid. These states, these 32 states, spent $1.78 billion in Medicaid funds prescribing psychiatric medications to nearly 3 million children in a single year. That's under the age of 18. 270,000 were under the age of 5. Under the age of 5.
Now, what is that crazy crazy religion that Tom Cruise is? Scientology. This group here is a base from that. The Citizen Council.
The Citizen Commission of Human Rights.
Okay, now, I don't like Scientology. It's completely from the pit, all right? But that group that works with them, that talks about these kids being on these drugs, they're right.
Yeah.
And they're trying to expose all of this stuff. I'll tell you a little bit more about the Scientology thing in just a second. Go ahead, tell me also what's going on.
Since Medicaid's a federal state program funded by American taxpayers designed as a safety net for countries, basically low-income citizens, they said 32 states alone, the 1.78 billion prescribed psychiatric medications to 3 million children. These are not benign interventions. These are drugs with serious documented risk prescribed to developing brains during the most sensitive times of their years. Stimulants carry the same Drug Enforcement Administration a classification as OxyContin and fentanyl.
I've talked about this for 30 years.
Antidepressants carry black box warnings for suicidal behavior. It says anti-anxiety drugs like benzodiazepines carry warnings for life-threatening dependence. But they're giving them to toddlers. This article goes on to see here. It says the following chart represents Medicaid's psychiatric drug prescribed for the 32 states. Look at this drug. 0 to 17-year-old. 0 to 17. Remember, this is just in 32 states on Medicaid. This isn't even cash payment, other insurance, the rest of the 50 states. This is just these states. 1.4 million kids in those 32 states were given ADHD drugs under the age of 18. 920 were given antidepressants. Now, here's the real, there's the real number, the real kicker on here. 0 to 5. Now, I got a special place of anger on this part because I have multiple kids. I have an 8-year-old, I have a 9-year-old, and I have a 2-year-old. And I look back now on, you know, the upbringing, the age, my 2-year-old son, who's right in the middle of that category now. He's about almost two and a half. So he's right between that 0 to 5 range. And I look at this, and it shows 145,783. Put this camera up. Put it on the camera. I want to see this number. 145,000 kids, 0 to 5, were given anti-anxiety drugs, primarily Xanax. 145,000 5,000 kids in just these states on Medicare were given Xanax.
Yeah, how addictive that is, stuff.
That's Xanax? Anti-anxiety drugs for two-year-olds? My question is this. How do you even determine as a doctor that a two-year-old or a three-year-old has anxiety and needs to go on a Schedule II controlled drug like Xanax because they have anxiety? Kid can't communicate properly. I mean, they're learning to develop and speak.
You know, I'm going to just go here for a second. You know, this is all Sigmund Freud crap.
This is. This all goes back to the manipulation of children.
He was a Jewish fellow, Kabbalist, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan. Him and his cousin Bernays, who started marketing. These two basically worked, you know, as far as making everybody feel as though that anything they thought wrong or anything they did wrong in their life was a sexual perversion.
Right.
It was all okay, and they should be on cocaine like he was. The guy was a weirdo. And a lot of the major universities now that know about him and what his background was, they stopped promoting him as the father of psychological thought because he's a weirdo. Okay, and you got to understand something. You know, a lot of, and I'm not going to pick on all Jewish doctors here, but he was Jewish, and he was a psychiatrist. And there are a lot of Jewish psychiatrists that use a lot of drugs in their practice all the time because they have no way of dealing with the issues that are associated with a lot of these children and adults because they don't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Now you look at me like, ah, oh, come on, Ted, you going to go there? Yeah, I'm going to go there. They don't have an answer. So the only thing they can do is medicate you. And they do it over and over and over again. Sexual perversion and Sigmund Freud are synonymous. That guy was a twisted weirdo. And the sad part about all of this stuff is he is the guy now that's pushed a lot of the psychiatric thought out and has told a lot of people and promoted a lot of drugs for this kind of stuff. And it's just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and worse as these medical boards are being taken over by these Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan nutbags who all they want to do is drug the population into submission. See, if you have a drugged population, it's a lot easier to control them. If you have a dumbed-down population, you give them fluoride, it's a lot easier to control them. If you have a group of people that are addicted to OxyContin because Purdue Pharma said it was non-addictive, it's a lot easier to control them because they'll do anything to get their opiates. I mean anything. They'll rob, kill, steal. They'll do anything they have to in some cases to get their opiates. And the sad part about it is that, you know, wouldn't it have been easier not to have gone on the opiates to start with? It would have been easier to try some other pain management program or have the doctor give you, I'm going to give you three opiates for 3 days and that's it, instead of giving you a prescription for 80 with refills included. What the heck's that all about? But I see all of this stuff. I'm going to say one other thing, too, about this. I touched this for a second. Years ago, we went to a dirt bike thing over in Tampa, Orlando. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was at Tampa, the fairgrounds. And Austin was, you know, we were watching, and they had a Scientology tent set up. Scientology has no answers for you, by the way. Just let you know that. And they had a Scientology tent set up, and they had this little machine, like a resistance thing. And they would measure you to see what type of resistance you would have as far as they would give, supposedly measure anxiety. And, you know, I told them, I said, well, I don't have any anxiety. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm filled with the power of the Most High God. And they said, well, that's what everybody says who's Christian. They come in, they have an anxiety, click that's around 60 or whatever. You know, a really good anxiety meter is like 20. And, you know, and you, most people have around 60. So we're going to show you how to help that. So you have to grab these electrodes. So I thought, well, that's interesting. I said, well, my anxiety is going to be like non-existent. I'm filled with God's Holy Spirit. So I grabbed the electrodes. I'm like at a 10.
It's funny. Remember that? I forgot all about that.
And the guy looked at me and goes, I've never seen one that low. You have no anxiety. I said, no, I told you don't. But they were going to give me a book by L. Ron Hubbard, Dianetics or whatever, right? And I said, well, I want the book down because I want to read it and make sure I could tell you guys how bad it was. We're not going to give you the book down.
They would
give it to me. But it was so crazy to me because, I mean, the thing about it is that when you have the power of the Most High God living within you, the Bible says, who by worrying can add a single moment to their life? But rather than giving you the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands or you accepting Jesus Christ, they're going to give you Xanax.
Well, yeah.
Right here, you're looking at it. And we're going to start you at the age of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You go, well, they wouldn't do that. We're looking at the statistics right here. And Kennedy's putting this up.
Yes.
So now he's going to have to get put back on a leash because Kennedy's out there telling the truth of what's going on and trying to let people know what's happening.
I mean, you think about this for a second. I'm boggling my mind because, again, this is just in 32 states on Medicaid. 25,000 kids, 0 to 5, were put on antidepressants. Yeah.
How can a 5-year-old be depressed?
Antidepressants.
Yeah. They cause suicide.
They'd be like Stetton running in. Huh, I'm depressed. I need drugs. No, it doesn't happen. The kids don't say that. This is deflection and this is projection that these stinking perverted psychiatrists do to these kids. Oh, this is the way you feel? Oh, I have some. Here you go, Mom. Here's a prescription. He start taking every day.
Okay, a lot of this is from laissez-faire child rearing.
That is that.
Now listen to me.
I will just say that.
Okay.
Parents that suck.
Parents.
Well, no, I'm just going to put it out there. I've seen it, done it, argued with them.
You could do anything you want to do if you're my child. I'm not going to discipline you. I'm not going to make you run laps. I'm not going to make you stand in the corner. You can do whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, whenever you want to do it. And the kid does it, and the kid doesn't have any limits, and the kid's not happy. God gave us limits in the Bible. Don't do this. Don't do this. You do this. This is what's going to happen. You do this. It's going to happen. We've got rules that he gave us. Children want rules. We're created in God's image.
They need structure.
They need structure.
Structure and discipline.
And I'm not talking about beating kids. I'm not talking about all that nonsense. What I'm talking about is have them go run some laps. Have them do some push-ups. Have them do some lunges if they don't want to listen. Just make sure that you don't allow them to run guns vilt, which is wild, and never say anything to them because then they think they have no structure and no discipline. And then here's the problem they get. Here's some consequence they get. You don't care. Are you listening to me?
It's true.
You don't care, parent. You don't care about me. You don't love me enough. You don't care enough about me to tell me what I can and can't do. So I'm going to do whatever I want to do and see how much it takes for me to make you care.
See what I have to do to get your attention.
There you go.
A lot of people don't realize that with young kids. Most of the time, kids just want some attention from their parents. And they'll get it any way they can in some cases, including completely and totally acting a fool. That the parents go, I don't know what to do my child. He's 3 years old, and he's running around doing everything. Well, we're not going to address your parenting skills. We're not going to address your diet that you're giving him. We're not going to talk about the fruity pebbles he eats every single morning with homogenized milk or the cinnamon rolls and the giant piles of donuts he eats all day because you don't monitor anything. We're going to put him on a ADHD drug, and then, he's going to be pretty up and down with that because it's amphetamine in a two-year-old. We're going to give an antidepressant to make sure it doesn't burn out all serotonin from all the drugs, from the amphetamines. And then he's going to probably start getting anxiety from all the amphetamines. So we're going to give him an anti-anxiety drug like Xanax to balance off the highs from basically the amphetamines. And he'll do just fine on this stat. Are you kidding me? The sad part is, I'm not. It even talks about here in this article how these drugs, it's not just one in many cases, it's multiple drugs. By the time these kids are teenagers, they're on anywhere between 3 to 5 different pharmaceutical drugs that go down this model. Do you understand what they're building in the future? You're building someone's completely dependent on the pharmaceutical industrial complex. I don't know. I can only speculate. I can't imagine. You can start taking a benzodiazepine like Xanax at 2, 3, 4, 5 years old and stay on it throughout your entire upbringing in your teenage years. And you can actually come off that drug when you get older without any type of severe debilitating long-term side effects. I don't speculate that you could because what it does to the brain, because what it's going to do from an addiction standpoint, I know in adults, I can't imagine what it's going to do in a developing child for 10, 15, 20 years. I can't imagine. You're going to completely wreck their brain chemistry. It will never be the same again after that. So again, look at stuff like, omega-3 fatty acids in their diet, giving them the multiple chewable, staying away from all these unbelievably toxic foods and ultra-processed foods and high sugary foods that they want to eat all day. Because at the end of the day, if kids don't have any structure, if they don't have any discipline, they will do anything they feel like doing. They'll eat the entire pantry full of junk. I've seen kids done it. They've had their parents to just let them have a free-for-all. Own vending machine companies. Kids just snack all day on junk. Bun buns and cupcakes and donuts and Snicker bars. That's all they eat. Lord of the Flies, that book. Lord of the Flies, you thought about a second ago. Yeah. Free-for-all. Kids are running in their own island. Just free-for-all. Yeah. And so this is a weird
movie. No, it's true.
No, it's true, though.
Without structure, and see, I had a friend of mine years ago. I found out that she had been given Effexor, which is a sustained relief Prozac, starting at 17.
And that's 17, not 4 or 5.
And I talked to a good doctor friend of mine who said to me, "How did she come off of that?" It's like that's impossible to come off. It's a sustained release Prozac in tiny little sustained release capsules. She actually went in and counted the capsules inside of the vial.
They're like little balls, I think.
And if she got into one of her phases, she would start writing real tiny little script, like mental people do. I hate to say that, but they do. They start writing weird stuff down. And the crazy part about it is finally, after 20 years, she was 17 years old, started on this stuff. She got married at 17 just to get out of her house. First marriage failed because she's on these drugs and alcohol. Then she got married again, stayed on them. Second marriage failed. Then she had kids, which is great. It's great having kids on those kind of drugs. And the kids had all kinds of issues. And the problem is that you find out pretty soon that now she's got an alcohol problem. Then they had to stack it with Xanax. And finally, she got off the effects. And it was like a roller coaster.
Gosh.
Being drunk, Xanax, sleeping all the time. It was unbelievably how messed up it was. And at that point in time, unless there's a true and filling of the Holy Spirit, that person really gets convicted. I had a friend of mine. I've got some friends that have a kid who's gay. And I asked my friend who's a pastor, I said, will you pray for this kid to no longer be gay? He says, that won't work. Now, you look at me kind of funny. Now, a lot of you look at me like a calf at a new gate. And I said, what do you mean it won't work? I mean, you're like a delivering preacher. You're like, can put people through satanic oppression and get rid of them. And if you don't put them through, you get rid of them, satanic oppression. You drive the stuff out. He goes, no, if the person doesn't want to not, if the person wants to be gay, you can't tell them not to be gay. You have to pray for the Holy Spirit to convict them that they don't want to be gay anymore. And then you pray for them, and the spirit leaves, the demon leaves, or whatever leaves. Now you think, well, it's just, well, you don't have a demon when you're gay. You were born that way. Whatever. Just believe what you want to believe. I don't care what you believe. It's your choice. It's like it's my choice to believe what I want to believe. But I see some crazy stuff with some of the lifestyles these people choose. The sad part about it is it's the truth. If you want to be on the drugs, it doesn't make any difference if somebody tries to get you off of the drugs. You had a guy who you knew who was just like a second in the state so far as wrestling champion.
Yeah.
This guy was great. I liked the kid. I tried my best to help him, but he liked his drugs. He liked his alcohol. And there was no fixing him.
He liked the opioids.
You couldn't get him off of it. And no matter what you tried to do, he wanted to do it. Now, he's probably, I don't know what happened to him. He's probably in jail. Who knows? I don't know. But I liked the guy. I spent, you know, literally 40, 50 hours trying to help him. It didn't work because he wanted to do it. If a person wants to take opioids, if a person wants to take Xanax, if a person wants to take Effexor, if a person wants to take these drugs, they don't realize the side effects associated with them in most cases until it's too late, Austin.
Exactly.
Until they're so addicted they don't know what to do with it. So be careful with who you try to help, because a lot of people, they don't want to get helped. No matter what you do, they're going to be the same. They're going to make the same mistakes over and over and over again.
No, that's exactly what's going to happen now. And this is why I said, if your parents, it's your responsibility as a good parent, as a godly parent, to actually be involved with your children's upbringing, to be involved with their eating, to be involved with what they're exposed to, especially at a young age. These levels of pharmaceutical usage in a young age are completely and totally unacceptable to me. By the way, just so you know this, we're pretty much the only country that has these numbers.
That's right.
There's no other country in the entire world that gives 2 and 3 year olds antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs, unless it's some rare, rare, rare occasion that I know of. I've been able to find it.
And I guarantee you these 3 and 4 and 5 year olds that are taking these drugs, somebody's put them on an iPad long ago.
Oh. Yeah, at an early age.
Because their brain's not made for this.
I mean, I've told you before, it was years back. This is years back. It was very troubling. You know, I had a Hunter with me. He was first born. He's like a year and a half. We were at a breakfast restaurant. We've been staying like a Marriott. And we're down at breakfast eating, and this kid comes down with his parents, almost the exact same age, probably like a year and a half old. And they put an iPad in front of him. And he's sitting at the table, and he literally will not take his eyes off the iPad. He would turn his face just enough that his parents could slip a spoon in to feed him his food, and then he'd immediately turn his head back to the iPad and stare at the whole time.
Take the iPad away, immediately anxiety.
He'd tighten the AirPod away, rah, shaking, all mad, banging on the table, pitching a giant conniption fit.
Time for psychiatric drugs now.
We don't know what to do. Every time he doesn't get his way, he pitches a fit. Oh, well. You know, he needs to go on anti-anxiety. He needs to be on Xanax. Obviously, he needs to be on Xanax. He's a year and a half old, and he's having these problems. It's an anxiety problem. Oh, okay. Doctors don't bother to say, is he using an iPad 6, 7, 8 hours a day? Is he watching TV all day? Is he getting a bunch of crap food all day? They don't care. Because why? The pharmaceutical industrial complex makes sure everybody makes money who prescribes it.
Cats. Yeah. You had a cat.
I don't have a cat.
You did when you were young.
A long time ago.
Countess was her name.
Yeah.
She showed up one day.
Showed up.
And basically decided, and she's a nice cat, good barn cat.
She was.
And you had to make sure you wash your hands because of toxoplasma. But every time you touched her, she was surely purring all the time. Always really nice.
Nice cat.
And all of a sudden, Countess ends up pregnant. She's a feral cat. She ends up pregnant. She's running around now. She's looking for a place to nest. all of a sudden, she's in the closet in there one day, got in here one day, and she has four or five kittens. And she's an incredible mother. I mean, the cat's a great mother. So we ended up going to the vet. We said, look, we got to get this cat spayed. This is enough of this. We don't need more feral kittens. And so I was talking to the vet. You know, the vet said, he goes, well, cats are like humans. Now, you cat lovers, you'd like this. There's good moms and there's bad moms.
Ooh.
Some mothers are really, really, really bad when it comes to children, human children, and some cats are really bad when it comes to their kittens. Tannis happens to be a good mother. You think, well, what the heck are you talking about? A lot of times it's the parents. Again, like Austin just said, they're bad parents. We prayed, Sharon and I prayed with our kids, and we had a family meeting every single morning. Now, the kids hated it, but we prayed with them every single morning. And we talked to them about the issues from the day before and how to deal with the issues. We had them in church on Sunday. We had them in church on Wednesday night. We did everything we knew to do. We made sure they ate clean. We made sure they had organic food. We did everything we knew to do. We kept them off of vaccines. We did everything we knew to do. You think, well, did the kids like it? Apparently, you know, now that they're older, apparently they did not like it. But the reality is that the point is, how do you deal with that? If they don't like it, what do you do as a parent? Are you going to sit there and say, okay, well, you can do whatever you want to do now? It's funny because, you know, if you give a child a chance, they're going to want to eat junk food all the time.
That's Sharon, exactly right.
When Sharon was young, I remember this. Her mom would give her a credit card for the PX and the military base for the Air Force up in Eglin Air Force Base. She told me this. And she would go fill her shopping cart up with the Little Debbie's, Twinkies, Ding Dongs, and Cupcakes and live on junk food. And her mom let it happen. And the problem is that, you know, Sharon would get upset if she couldn't get what she wanted. So her mom, rather than argue with her, just let her buy all the junk and eat it. When Sharon was 19 years old, she came down with a gut inflammation and had to be hospitalized while at Florida State University. I mean, all of this stuff has consequences. Sooner or later, when you eat the wrong foods, sooner or later, you have a problem. Now we have Wegovy going in and saying, hey, if you do this, you may kill yourself. Hey, you may have really bad depression. Hey, you may have pancreatitis. Hey, you may have liver failure. Hey, you may have this. And they're covering it up, Austin, and not even disclosing it.
That's the problem. That's the biggest problem. And then they're saying, this is a weight loss drug. It ain't a weight loss drug, guys. Let me clarify this. It is a type 2 diabetic drug that was approved by the FDA for type 2 diabetes and regulating blood sugar. That's what it was approved under. That is why now everybody's having such a fit with these pharmaceutical drugs, pharmaceutical lawyers, because they're going in and saying, first off, you're prescribing this off books, which they do that sometimes off label. But now you're prescribing it to tens of millions of people off-label, and you're having doctors manipulate your blood work in order to get approval to get this stuff covered under insurance to say you have high blood sugar like you're diabetic so we can get you approved for a drug to lose weight that's a diabetic drug that's going to cause a host of different side effects.
There you go.
That's the problem. And so that's where the lawsuit's coming in. There's an article here that Harrison wrote it for me yesterday. It says a hidden nutritional cost of GLP-1 weight loss drugs. What emerging research reveals about nutrient deficiencies, hair loss, and muscle loss.
Hair loss. Ladies, hair loss.
Hair loss.
Think about it.
And let along with hair loss, fingernails don't grow either.
No, protein deficiency.
Fingernails and protein and collagen. If hair falls out, fingernails stop growing. Skin elasticity. That's what they're showing now.
You turn into a Shar-Pei.
You can read this article. I don't have time. We use a lot of the clock today. But if you want to know about this drug, and this the thing I had to write about this article is I didn't want to just go into, oh, my gosh, it causes thyroid cancer. We already know that. This goes into actual true long-term problems if you don't have a major disease come about this drug, what it does to your muscle tissue and trying to acquire it back.
Look at this. Rolls for Stride, 70% of participants reported experiencing hair shedding after the therapy. Hair loss is the most common among individuals who experience the greatest degree of weight reduction. Remember I told you I had that lady who was a friend of mine who had two-thirds of her stomach cut out, and she lost her hair. Almost all of her hair came out because she continued to eat junk food after she basically had her stomach cut out. Now, she lost 120 pounds. She turned into a Shar-Pei. Hate to say that. Great lady, great friend. But she just ruined her looks because of what she did with the weight loss. And they made her gain 50 pounds to qualify for the weight loss surgery, yep. Austin. And then she was a 170. She went to 220 because she gained the weight. Then she lost back down 120. Wouldn't it have been easier just to have lost the 50 pounds to start with, Austin?
Look at this.
And not have to deal with all this?
Says,
weight loss, muscle loss, hair loss, nightmare.
Among participants who lost just 15% or more of their body weight. So if they were 300 pounds, they lost 45 pounds on GLP-1s, which is pretty common. That's a pretty common number on it. Of those amount, hair shedding occurred in more than 80% of cases, women were significantly more likely than men to report hair loss during treatment. 80% of the people that just lost 15% of their body weight,
she had to go to extensions. Her hair got so thin, she had to put extensions in because her hair was basically 90% gone. It was sad.
It's lack of protein absorption.
It's so funny. Good news is she started on the multiple powder. I gave her a bottle because I felt so bad for her. And she called me up like the next day and goes, what did you give me? I said, it's multiple powder. She goes, I felt different on that within 20 minutes because of the B vitamins. And then she started taking him and taking him and taking him. And I told her, I said, you got to be on the collagen. You got to be on the B vitamins. And then the hair loss finally stopped. But she still wanted to eat junk all the time. She's always bringing me candy over to the house. I finally told her, I said, don't bring me candy. I don't want to eat candy. I don't eat this stuff because it's just junk. I said, you got to break the habit of this.
Yes.
I said, you got to eat clean.
People don't understand that start getting very, very sugar addictive is that sugar is just as addictive in clinical trials on the brain as cocaine and amphetamines are.
That's true.
You start using high amounts of sugar, it has the exact same addiction level on the brain. That's why you see people all the time. They're in church. Got a wrapper. They get in the car.
What's up with that? So annoying.
I've always got to be eating sugar. You're not processing the fact that you're addicted to sugar. Do a 3-day fast GHI cleanse sugar detox, and you'll find out how quick you're addicted to sugar. I've had people call me, I feel horrible. I'm nauseous on this fast. I said, yeah, your body's detoxing. Mm-hmm.
Had this lady that I knew had about 60 pounds overweight. I knew her, she's a realtor. And she basically was eating like a bucket of Lifesavers every day.
Oh, yeah.
No, a bucket.
Remember, they're only like, 10 calories a piece. Mm-hmm. There's only 10 calories for Lifesavers.
Well, she ended up going to jail for three months.
Like 50 of them.
3 months. And guess what? She lost like 60 pounds. And then as soon as she got out, wrappers again. And finally, I told her, I tried to help her, from a physiological standpoint. I said, look, I said, you are hypoglycemic.
Yeah.
She'd been an alcoholic when she was younger. And, by the way, alcoholics in 90% of the cases are hypoglycemic.
That's a fact.
Okay? They have blood sugar issues.
This is another reason, too. You do enough research, you'll find out. A lot of times you find people, a lot of times there's really nice, fun drunks, and there's really, really mean drunks. Most cases you'll find that people that fall into one of those either categories,
it's
usually
either
mean
or.
Drunks, it's usually a blood sugar problem. Your insulin goes through the roof with alcohols. It turns into sugar, crashes the blood sugar. You get really, really moody, but then you're drunk and moody and your blood sugar is low. Horrible combination. It's best just to stay away from the alcohol.
My mom had an issue and she was a mean drunk. And that caused her marriage with my dad.
It happens
a lot. It happens a lot. Remember, I was raised in a beer tavern. I love the fun drunks. Oh, my gosh.
Some people, when they drink, they're funny.
Howard's here. It's a party. Sorry, I should have said that. Because he was always fun. He'd take about 4 beers. He'd be loosened up. He'd be great, right? He was a chemist. He was smart. He was a college-educated dude. I mean, he was like my mentor. I thought the guy was amazing, but he was a fun drunk. Then you get Jesse in there.
Four or five drinks and I want to start fighting.
Oh, no. He's going to sucker punch everybody. He's going to pick up. No, it's unbelievable. And so you get two. That's it. There's only two types of drunks, Austin.
No, it is.
Happy and mean. And the mean ones just have to go. That's why most of the mean ones, after they show themselves one time, they get banned from certain bars. They're like, we're trespass warning.
Well,
you
a lot
can't
of
times
it comes down to either PTSD and or blood sugar when they start researching as far as with alcoholism. Yeah. Because remember, alcoholism, all alcohol starts to do is kind of make you more of what you already are. If you're really inclined to be funny, you start drinking, that's what it's a tendency to do. You already got a lot of hidden stuff that you're really angry about or really mad about. It starts pulling all that out. So sometimes it's best just to stay away from that. And if you are going to partake in that occasionally, run the GHI cleanse, run the liver detox. Get the stuff out of your body as fast as possible, protect that liver.
Yeah, it's like money. Money
Same
makes
thing.
Money
it's just, it's a magnifier.
Yeah, my money's a magnifying glass. If you're inclined to drink, you can become a real drunk with money. Drink real expensive wine like Johnny Depp. Okay, if you're inclined,
it was like $10,000 a bottle or something.
A day,
$10,000 a day,
because he had so much money after the Disney movies, and then he went through most of it, and then he blamed it all on his financial planners, which it could have been those.
Yeah, it could, but but it's like the royalties he's going to get of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, that's why those movies kind of faded. The last couples were so bad. The movies.
He's got loyalties on though with Disney, I think.
Yeah,
who knows?
But the point is that money makes you more of what you are. If you're inclined to give, you become a giver. Yep. If you're inclined to be a Scrooge, you become a Scrooge. If you're inclined to do drugs, you really go wild with drugs or alcohol. If you're inclined to be, a philanthropist, you start giving more away. Money is nothing. It's just a tool. The love of money is the root of
there
all evil.
The love. Keyword love. That's what Jesus says. One last article I want to cover here because I, you know, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm really right. This is one of those things that aged well for me. United Airlines is facing class action lawsuits over COVID vaccine religious exemption policy.
About time.
And I call this one. This is probably the 10th or 12th article I've covered now over the last couple of years with companies now that are in massive multi-million dollar class action lawsuits because they declined people's religious exemptions to the COVID shot. And they said,
we told everybody.
I said, get it on record, on paper. If you don't want this shot, no matter what happens, get it on record and file it with HR that you have a strongly held religious belief against this vaccine. Once it's filed on paper, once it's documented with HR, it changes the entire game of how that COVID shot functioned. Because now you are violating someone's religious freedoms by forcing them to take a shot in order to maintain employment. It was a guaranteed lawsuit. I told everybody that. I said, I am not a sue-happy person. I quite frankly hate lawsuits. But if a company's going to terminate you for not getting an experimental shot, I said, you better darn well get it on the record. Make sure you know that they know this ain't okay.
I told all the employees at Health Masters, you do not have to take this shot. This is not your shot. I said, I highly recommend you don't take the shot. You do your research. Yeah. But you do what you want to do. You choose what you want. And now, years later, we have people come back and say, man, thank you so much for that.
Lawsuit involves 2,200 employees from the core of the class action lawsuit. This thing is getting expensive, too. This thing is going to be a very, very, very big payout. They said basically the employees applied for religious exemption. They were granted the religious exemption, and then they were immediately either terminated or put on unpaid leave.
Wow.
Immediately, right after. They put it in. They said, okay, we approve your religious exemption. Now you're going on unpaid leave. So we're not going to technically fire you on paper, but we're going to keep you on unpaid leave and never pay you any more money in perpetuity. Now, I mean, we're talking millions upon millions of dollars this class action is going to get paid out to these guys. And so, again, I hate lawsuits, but when you have anybody telling you got to violate your beliefs or you got to go take an experimental injection that you have no idea what's in it at the time, now we know what was in it.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, like with anything else, you know, we got to look at who you're working for. If you're working for God, the pay is great, and then the retirement plan's out of this world.
That was a good segue.
And, you know, and then you get to have Jesus as your buddy for the rest of creation, who made the heavens and the earth. And, yeah, imagine that, walk into the cool of the garden with the creator of the universe. How slick would that be? So keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. It's very important that you keep that bright in your head all of the time, because without that, nothing else matters anyhow.
Well, and that's when we talk about anything between, you know, your relationship with Jesus all the way to your diet, all the way to your overall health. The best thing you can do is try the best you can. Everybody screws up. Sometimes you're going to screw up on your diet. Sometimes you're going to screw up with God. Sometimes you're going to screw up with certain things. But it's taking a step back and saying, okay, what did I do here? How is this a mess up? Let's fix it and move on. Don't continue to focus on the mistake and be all wrapped up in it and stare in the rearview
mirror. Stop making the mistake.
You can't sit there and drive down the interstate forever and stare in the rearview mirror and be obsessed with it, because you get the same accident that you already got in before. Because you're not focusing on the future, you're focusing on the past.
Especially with all the old people down here.
Oh, my God.
On all their statin drugs. They can't drive.
And it's spring break in Florida and Orlando. Oh. I was there in Orlando all weekend, and it's like the traffic, it got progressively worse by the hour starting on Friday. I mean, I'm not joking. It was like every hour it got worse. Oh, my God.
The airport was unbelievable there last week. At the Orlando airport.
Yeah, so, yeah. Go to Orlando.
And now we're having all these spring thunderstorms, which you normally don't get in March. This is crazy.
It was crazy on the weekend. It was either windy and pollen blowing in your face where you can't breathe, or it was raining and pollen's everywhere dripping off all the vehicles that are orange now.
Or gators chasing your dog at the pond.
That happened too.
By the way, Florida's not where you want to retire. Don't come here.
No. Go to New York. They love you up there. Hope you guys had a good, great show. Try to keep it funnier today. A lot of funny topics on here. Stay strong. Stay healthy, my friends. If you need anything, healthmaster.com. Ultimate Multiple Capsules. These need no introduction. You know them. One of the best products we have on the market. One of the best products on our website. Check them out at healthmasters.com. You can read all about them here. And check out the reviews. And listen, guys, thank you for the great reviews. If you want to pick at something, there's something specific, I'm okay with somebody basically coming in and trying to give me some, you know, critique. But don't sit there and give me a bad review because the product worked great, but I don't want to pay money for it. I'd rather buy my Amazon product. That's not a review.
That's being really mean.
Well, that's just you not wanting to take responsibility for a product that works great for you.
Hey, I love you guys, And thank you for praying for us. I had a lady call me up this morning. Pray for the Pennsylvania area right now. They got some big storms coming through this afternoon. I prayed for them this morning. And thank you for praying for us. I love you so much. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good evening, my friends.